difference between Christianity and Judaism is that Judaism is a religion given by God to define man, and Christianity is a religion invented by man to define God. It's a little overstatement, like all quips, but there's a great deal of truth to it. And that's where the line is, and that's where the problems lie. And in fact, the entire Jewish attitude towards theology is that God says, leave me alone. You know, alavai osi ozvu, the Gemara says, v'torosi shamoru. Alavai, they'd leave me alone. You know, great minute can coupling. Yeah, you know, he is, he isn't. Well, who cares, right? Just do the Torah. Just be good and honest and do mitzvahs. Behave yourself, that's all. Now that's an ultra-sophisticated attitude. We are the only religion that really doesn't deal with God. We start with the premise we don't know him, we can't explain him. He's here, he's in my house, I can deal with him, but I can't understand him. Once I want to understand him, so then I have problems. And the definitions that looked good in the 8th century don't look so hot in the 20th century. It's a little like the clothing. All styles change. The world changes. So this translation, this Greek translation of the Bible, is an enormous departure in the history of civilization and the history of the Jewish people. So our rabbi saw in it, it was an ambivalent feeling. On one hand, they saw a miracle. Because in the translation of the Bible, it was not a literal translation. The Chachomim, the translators, purposely went out of their way to avoid certain problems. For instance, it says in the Hebrew version that God said, Nase Odom Betzalmenu, let us make man in our image. Plural. So Rashi and all the Mefarshim discuss, who is God talking to? Why does the Hebrew use that form? And we have answers. God is teaching us courtesy. He consulted with the angels, even though God can do whatever he wants. But if you have, even though you're the boss, you should consult with your managers, with your executives, etc. So the Talmud is not afraid to say that. And in Hebrew, we're not afraid to read it. I mean, you have to read it that way, because that's the way it's written in the Torah, and every word in the Torah is written holy. But in the Septuaginta, it is not written that way. In the Septuaginta, it's written in the singular, I will make man in my form. Because they didn't want to get into explaining this to the Greeks. So they made emendations. They changed the Chumash in order to avoid certain problems. There is a book written by the late Reb Reuven Margolius, who was a great scholar in many, many areas, and who was a Greek and Latin scholar as well. There was a little Galitzianer Yidel that taught himself everything on his own. He never went to Harvard and Yale, but he could put them all in his back pocket. And he has there, I think he has a book, he says, it's called Sheva Meos Shel Ashivim, 700 changes of the Targum Ashivim, 700 places where the Septuaginta is different than the original Hebrew text. And he has an explanation for every one of the places, why they did it. What were they trying to do? What was the purpose of changing it? But in effect, what they passed off was an imperfect translation. Was a translation that was meant to give the world the Torah, but still retain the Torah for the Jewish people. It was a written Torah from which one would not see the necessity of having the oral Torah. For instance, in the Septuaginta, it says that an eye for an eye is money. They just, you know, they didn't go through that. Payment. An eye for a payment of an eye for an eye. Because again, they didn't want to go through the whole speech. why this way? Why do we, you know, why was it written an eye for an eye if it ends up money only?